You are now joining The Mandalorian Watch.
That's right. It's the number one podcast in the galaxy for all things The Mandalorian. I'm your host, Alex Maxwell, and joining me, as always, is...
Mac Lacey. We are here for our Chapter 11 voicemail episode. There's a ton to talk about. Obviously, we had tons of thoughts, so of course you guys had tons of thoughts as well. Big episode for the show.
How many times have you ended up watching it?
Just once more, actually.
Just once?
Yeah,
just
I'm trying
besides
to...
Besides the initial viewing?
In season, I'm trying to keep everything fresh to kind of be on the same sort of perspective as most viewers, if that makes sense. So I'm not like... I did have to watch it a second time.
That was my goal, too. But with this one, like last night, I was just sitting there and I was just... I was about to go to bed and I was like, you know what? It's just 30 minutes. Why not? And so I watched it and it's just so good. Like I cannot get over how good Chapter 11, The Heiress was. Like I am blown away still about just everything that we saw about the revelations of Bo-Katan coming into the series and what that means. And you know, we were so excited when we did our scene-by-scene breakdown, which you can go and listen to if you have not done so already. Of course, we will be referencing that quite a bit on this episode. But in the scene-by-scene breakdown, you know, we of course talked about Bo-Katan and who she is. And like, if you're not familiar with her, hopefully we gave you enough of a background to kind of help you with that. However, we do have our breakdowns of every single Clone Wars and every single Rebels episode that have to do with the Mandalorians. It's on our feed. So if that, like, you realize, I actually want to go check that out, we have that available for you.
Yeah, and if you have more questions about, you know, Bo-Katan or the Night Owls or anything like that, it is super helpful to go back to the source material and actually see it, you know, for yourself, just to you know, get the stories and have the collective memories that we all have with the character, you know?
Right.
So yeah, it's a great time to catch up on that if you haven't seen it before.
Yeah. And like, I'm not going to lie when I say Star Wars Rebels, like I love that show. Like it's on par with the movies for me.
It's phenomenal.
Most people are kind of like that with the Clone Wars, and I totally get that. I'm more so like that with Rebels, and so I'm just a huge Rebels fan, and I can't wait to see. Of course, you know, you do have the danger, Mac, in the sense of going forward, what if people are not familiar with these characters, how much is too much? You know, like I have been thinking about that.
Right. Yeah, and you know, I think it'll have a lot to do with how the big name characters that we see popping up in this show, how they play into the series later on. So
yeah,
if Bo-Katan comes back and has a huge part to play in the season before it's over, you know, you know, the same thing is happening with some other characters that have been mentioned, you know, we're going to get into it, and they mentioned it in this show. So I don't feel like I need to, you know, dance around it anymore, but Ahsoka Tano.
It's Ahsoka.
She's in it. They said it in the episode. So, right. But yeah, like if Bo-Katan and Ahsoka are both back and have huge parts and roles to play in the story, you know, it might get a little much.
Yeah, and like I know there were some people who were saying like, what is there to be confused about? Like Bo-Katan did a good job very quickly explaining number one, who she was and what she was after. She is heir to the throne of all Mandalorians. Like she's supposed to be in charge and she's looking for the Darksaber because that's what basically makes you in charge.
Right. She has been there for the rise and fall of her people, you know, kind of a couple different times, you know?
Yeah.
And so she has seen it and she has been through the trenches, you know, trying to do her best to lead Mandalore. So like, I mean, there's a lot of stuff that, you know, with her and her history that I hope, you know, maybe gets more brought into the show just because there's so much that you can build off of there. You know?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And in terms of like other characters like Ahsoka, we were before the voicemails, just going to give you a brief background on Ahsoka in case you aren't very familiar with her, because we know a lot of our listeners aren't. And so like, we want to kind of provide you just some very basic general knowledge of who Ahsoka is without really trying to spoil everything that happens to her, because you might want to go and watch it, you know.
Yeah.
But just kind of give you a general background of her. But first, we would love for you guys to follow us over on Twitter, which is at The Mando Watch, and on Instagram at The Mandalorian Watch. We also have a Patreon, which we do a bonus voicemail hotline episode just like this one, exclusively for our patrons. And so you can go to patreon.com/ The Mandalorian Watch to sign up. We have had a ton of new people sign up, and we are so glad to have our new patrons. And a lot of people have been joining the Discord server, which has just been popping off every day. And it's been fun just to talk the Mandalorian with everybody.
Yeah, absolutely. And like, we last week we had a doozy of a Patreon voicemail episode. You guys who have heard it know what I'm talking about.
Mac had a big breakthrough.
It wasn't even a breakthrough. I just brought up something that happened to me.
Well, we're gonna continue that conversation on that Patreon episode. That's for sure.
All right. Yeah, yeah. Well, so if you want to get caught up on all that, be sure to check that out.
But like, let's say you are not in a position to do a Patreon, which we totally get and understand. I've been there before. What you can do if you want to support the show is go rate and review us over on Apple Podcasts. That helps us out so much. And we are so close to 700 reviews. And so that would be phenomenal.
Getting close.
Yeah. Yeah. So Mac, are you ready to just let's talk a little bit of Ahsoka before we do some voicemails? Is that cool with you?
Yeah, yeah, for sure. Do you mind if I just kind of start us off, getting us?
Yeah, do it. Go ahead.
So basically, Ahsoka Tano, when she was first introduced, it was actually in the Clone Wars movie, and she is Anakin Skywalker's apprentice. She's his Padawan during the Clone Wars.
Did you go see that movie?
I did not go see that one.
I did, and I remember just sitting there thinking, what have they done? And I think that was a lot of people's reaction, number one, because like, at first, do you remember this, that most people hated Ahsoka? Like, most people did not like her at first.
Yeah, they made fun of her, calling her snips and everything.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, to be fair, is an in-show nickname.
Right.
But yeah, and now, you know, like, this, the character arc for Ahsoka is such that like you said, like, everybody kind of, or not everybody, but a lot of people hated her, like, flat out to begin with, hated the idea of her, hated the character herself. But then, like, now I think she's really one of the strongest and like definitely one of the characters with the most fully fleshed out arc, you know.
Yeah.
She has a starting point and various endpoints. I guess we really don't know the total right, of her story yet. We're getting there.
Right.
But just like from where she's come and where she is now, it's crazy. And
it's
so,
night and day. Yeah.
For sure. So she's a wonderful character. Mm-hmm. I think generally overall a loved character now.
Absolutely.
And Dave Filoni's like baby. Like, Dave Filoni's most prized creation, pretty much. And so
I feel like most of the hate just came from the shock of Anakin having an apprentice during the Clone Wars that we had no idea about. Especially, like, when you watch Episode 3, it's like, where is she, you know?
Right. I mean, he's still sort of learning, like from the audience perspective.
Right.
Yeah, and just that movie in general was not great, you know. So,
no, it was not.
So, you know, but so she's a Togruta. Mm-hmm. So the species, it's if you're familiar with like Shakti or you know, other characters in the Star Wars galaxy like that look like her, those are Togruta.
They kind of look like Twi'leks a little bit.
Yeah, but they got more like horns on top and more elaborate, like, almost paint schemes. Like, they have kind of markings on their
red
Leku,
and blue
their
and
head
white
tails and everything. Yeah.
Yeah.
Their faces are kind of like marked in a way that they look painted, but I think it's just the natural, you know, facial markings. Yeah, and so she uses like two lightsabers. She's got a long one and like one that she has in a backhanded grip, kind of shorter.
Mm-hmm. Very KOTOR of her. Yes.
Yes. Yep. And like honestly, she is a character that I mean, yeah, like she's incredibly fun to watch visually, like her fighting style, and she's very acrobatic and that kind of stuff. So she's a really cool character to watch on screen too.
Yes, and I am interested to see, like, especially with what we got in the Siege of Mandalore arc in the latest and final season of the Clone Wars that came out this summer, she was doing things like, how does this even translate to live action? Which, so I'm kind of curious to see, like, if she does end up fighting, which I assume she will, how is that going to translate?
I lost you there for a second, but...
Okay, sorry.
Yeah, that is... No, it's all good. It is a question that's... I mean, her physical appearance in general is...
Exactly, yeah.
A big old question mark for the show.
I'm not going to lie, I'm a little nervous.
Yeah. I think they'll definitely go off of, like, the Rebels model of Ahsoka, you know? Which looks a little bit more realistic, a little more grounded. You know, the eyes aren't quite as, like, disproportionately big and everything, so...
Yeah. Not as cartoony, but so like in terms of her, like what happened with her, because, you know, we don't see her in Revenge of the Sith. She, in the Clone Wars, she basically was accused of something by the Jedi Order, and then she ended up leaving the Jedi Order. But like she, to me, Mac, I feel like she's very much in the same vein as Qui-Gon Jinn in the sense that she represents the best of the Jedi and the light side. Maybe Jedi is too small of a term, but the best of the light side. But she absolutely does not subscribe to all the tenets of a Jedi.
Right. She like speaks to my heart a little bit because I
She is the I will say you two are very similar.
The problems with the Jedi in the prequels are very obvious to me. And Ahsoka kind of takes the really good stuff and maybe doesn't necessarily put as much emphasis on the stuff that's not as necessary, not as useful, not as helpful. So
Right. And so like by the time Revenge of the Sith is happening, she's not even in the Jedi Order anymore. And like I know people will say, well, she's not a Jedi or whatever. That Jedi is just a title. Like, in her heart, like, who she is, the ideals she represents what the best of the Jedi should be. And so, in my mind, she still is a Jedi.
Luke is not a Jedi if Ahsoka is not. Like...
Right. Absolutely.
Yeah. So, and then I'll just briefly kind of mention she helped out. She fought. You know, she helped with the rebellion. She wasn't necessarily like a rebel herself, but she like kind of helped.
And
them
this
out.
Is in Star Wars Rebels,
right? And then also Rebels introduced a concept called the World Between Worlds, which got a little weird in a cool way, but set up a lot of wiggle room in the Star Wars universe. Do you want to kind of give me briefly what the World Between Worlds is, Alex?
So it's basically like this place that exists almost within the Force, where you can go to different points in the timeline that like where big things are happening basically with the Force. And because she has access to this, it's not very clear in terms of, okay, was she just trapped in this place when the original trilogy was happening? But it seems to suggest that she was spending time in this place when the original trilogy was happening, which kind of explains her absence. And then once the original trilogy has concluded, about the end of Return of the Jedi, she has exited. And about 1 year after Return of the Jedi, she shows up and takes another Mandalorian named Sabine, which we have referenced before, to go find another Jedi named Ezra. And all that, again, is all in Star Wars Rebels, and I encourage you to watch it, but that's basically what's happened to her so far in terms of her life's journey. And when we find her, which again, I don't think we are going to find her in episode 4, by the way. I think it's going to be 5, maybe even 8 at the latest. We'll see.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think it would be too soon. Like, Bo-Katan and Ahsoka episode back-to-back, you know, that'd be a lot.
Too much. Yeah. Our brains will explode. So,
for sure.
I think there's going to be some buffer there, but when we find her on Corvus, that kind of, at least if you're not familiar with her, that should catch you up a little bit. That's her backstory.
Yep. And so, I mean, and so, like, with all that being said, obviously she could be a super important character in this story, you know, as far as being a mentor for the child, as far as, you know, she like knows Bo-Katan from way back, yeah. You know?
Yeah, they fought together on Mandalore.
Right. You know, in the Siege of Mandalore. So,
right.
There's just a lot that could happen with her, and I don't know, just keep all that in mind as we progress in season 2 of The Mandalorian.
Yeah, and I know that's a lot to kind of keep track of in your mind. And honestly, like, I feel like you're kind of hinting at this, Mac. A lot of that might not matter to this story.
Right.
It's just suffice to know that she was Anakin Skywalker's apprentice and she's a Jedi. There you go.
Yep.
So, all right. So let's get into some voicemails because we have some great ones.
All right, let's do it.
Hi, this is Sarah Purcell. I am calling from Seattle, Washington, and I just got to say, I am not sold that Baby Yoda is seeing a lot of the dark side. I am actually seeing, and what I'm watching is that he's actually seeing real life, and he's seeing also love, which is part of the light, and part of the force. And, you know, so all of this talk that y'all are saying that he's going to turn, you know, like it's too much dark, too much death and killing. Not at all. In fact, I'm curious, you know, I was actually talking about Kylo Ren today with a friend about, you know, him turning to the dark side because, you know, he had a light and fluffy land with mom and dad, and then they sent him off to the weird uncle who lied to him, and he got angry and, you know, tapped into grandpa, and off he went. And, you know, who knows what Baby Yoda, the child, has lived for the, you know, 49 years prior to meeting the Mandalorian. And I'm thinking that actually he is being drawn to the Force and the light of the Force rather than the dark side. So that's my thought. And I'm thinking it's all good. And, you know, depending on when this actually does show up in, you know, life, I'm curious to see who's going to show up as the Jedi. So, anyhow, that's my thought. Okay. Wow, I just had a thought. I mean, we all talk about Luke Skywalker showing up, but what about Leia? Why is it just Luke? Could Leia actually be part of this storyline? Ooh, I'm going to sit on that and talk to you guys next week. Okay, bye!
Sarah, thank you so much for your voicemail. And I love how it's like she had an after the credits scene for her voicemail too.
Yeah,
which
is great.
Really cool. So have we been too hard on Daddy Mandalorian in the sense of is Baby Yoda seeing too much dark side really or no? Like how do you feel about that?
I think that's a nice bit that we found for the show talking about all the violence and stuff that Baby Yoda's seeing. I don't think narratively I don't at least actually put much stock in it, but I do. There are moments that I actually do, like especially with like the tadpole thing from last episode, and so like there are little moments like that where I actually see it like narratively mattering.
Yeah,
but like I think most of the time I'm, you know, it's a bit, but
yeah, like I mean, I definitely wouldn't want my child to see that much violence growing up. But also keep in mind, he is a 50-year-old baby.
That's true.
There's 49 years of potential love and light. And I mean, he's
and
just
Sarah
kinda
pointed that out.
Yes, exactly. And she did a fantastic job pointing that out, in the sense of he has had life experience before this, and maybe this is just kind of opening his little baby eyes to, hey, maybe the world or the galaxy needs light, you know? And so the only instance that we have of Baby Yoda maybe being...
I'm dying.
He's choking to death. Are you choking to death?
I think, yeah. Oh, I think Sarah is maybe force choking me from Seattle. no, I
I'm
just
glad
got
you said that.
Water.
That actually is what I was about to bring up. The only instance that we've seen Baby Yoda use the dark side is when he was force choking Cara Dune. However, like, I don't even know if we can consider that the dark side. He was just trying to protect his dad.
He's just a kid.
Yeah.
And he's just doing his best to process all this stuff that's going on at one time, and he doesn't have the luxury of a life experience to you know, use a shorthand for what to do, you know? So.
And then that last part about Leia.
Leia. Okay, so it's tricky. I think she actually probably makes more sense from a narrative standpoint to show up then Luke.
I agree.
So I think Sarah was you know, kind of correct in that. Although there's a lot of, it's tricky because of Carrie Fisher. And, you know, obviously they would have to do something with Luke too, but they've already said that, like, they didn't want to do, like, CGI Carrie Fisher, but then they did CGI Carrie Fisher for Rogue One, and it was, like, around that similar time frame, you know, it wasn't 30 years in the future, so.
Yeah, I just think that it's different since it's a TV show. Like, in the sense of, like, these Carrie Fisher wasn't going to be in The Mandalorian regardless.
Right.
The character of Leia, though, could be. And so it's like, when you recast for a television show, like, if Luke were to be in it, they would have to recast. If Han Solo were
for sure
to be in it, why not get Alden to do it? You know, like, so, like, yeah, there's instances where it could work. And, like, I feel like the best way to use Leia would almost be like we saw in Chapter 9, where we saw everybody watching the hologram of the Death Star blowing up. You could have a hologram of Princess Leia addressing the New Republic Senate or something. I think that would be phenomenal.
Yeah, for sure. Cool. Well, yeah, Sarah, thanks for the call. Thanks for holding our feet to the fire there about that a little bit. Yeah, but anyway, let's do another one.
Hey guys, this is Bryn from Utah calling in again. I'm so pumped about the last episode. Bo-Katan is my absolute favorite Star Wars character, so to see Katie Sackhoff play her in live action is, like, so cool to me. Just like a quick side note about, so I know in the second episode in the asset, a lot of people were kind of thought it was a little bit cop out again to kill the Mudhorn with one knife in one strike. But the fact that he only has to nudge the little squid thing that's trying to eat Baby Yoda for it to die makes me think that there's something special about that blade. I don't know. That's just something cool that I thought. But the reason that I'm calling is because I've been kind of confused as to why there's no Mandela and none of the Mandalorian language in a show called The Mandalorian, especially when, like, in Legends, it's one of the six tenets of Mandalorian life. It's a really big deal. We know it's canon because we see Sabine speak it in Rebels, and we see Satine speak at least the Concordian dialect in Clone Wars. So I personally thought that, you know, Din was in the super orthodox sect of the Mandalorians. He was kind of in a cult. So, like, it would make sense that, like, maybe they'd strayed so far from the way of, you know, actual Mandalorians that they no longer spoke the language. So I for sure thought that when we saw Bo-Katan and other Mandalorians that they were going to speak the language. But, you know, that didn't really happen. So just a few things I noticed about that was, number one, everybody's using the term Gank Ferrick. So if that's a Mandalorian thing and we see the Mithral use it in Chapter 1, that would make sense. You know, he's trying to get on Din's good side, so he'll let him out, so he uses a Mandalorian word. But that doesn't super make sense when you remember that there's no F, at least in Legends, in Mandoa. That's why Fett is spelled super weird. It's like V-H-E-T-T. Another thing I noticed was that, at least in Karen Travis's books, when clones are talking to each other in Mandoa, they, like, use the word vod, which means sibling or brother, and Bo-Katan refers to Din as brother, and she doesn't use the language at all. So I thought that would have been a really easy way for them to slip it in. And the last thing that I noticed is when they're talking about the Mandalore and how Bo-Katan's going to rule Mandalore, when they're talking about the title, it's spelled in the subtitles the same way that the planet is spelled. So it's not spelled with the apostrophe, and it has an E at the end. So I just thought that that was kind of weird. I was really excited to see it. So I just was wondering what you guys thought. If you guys think that they're going to use the language, if you think that they're just going to pretend it doesn't exist, because we know that it's used in canon, like I said before, with Satine and Clone Wars and Sabine and Rebels. So yeah, super excited. I love what you guys are doing, and I love listening to your breakdowns every week. So yeah, bye.
Bryn, why are you not hosting this podcast?
Yeah, I was about to say, she's about to straight up steal our job.
Take my job. Yeah, no, for sure.
That's how you do a voicemail.
Absolutely, absolutely. This is maybe my favorite voicemail we've ever received, just because this is taking me back to Mandalorian 101, our very first actual thing we put out into the world as the Mandalorian Watch. Yeah, so, okay. We're just going to have to take this voicemail line by line, because there's a lot. There's a lot.
Yeah.
And Bryn, I hope I'm getting your name right. That's with the compression and everything on the voicemail call. That's the best we can decipher. But yeah, so first, the vibroblade thing.
Yeah.
Vibroblades must be like the knife that the Evas use. Like, they're...
Absolutely.
They're something.
They're very good.
Yeah. Yeah. So, for sure. Mandoa. We haven't heard it yet in the show. And we have heard it in Clone Wars and Rebels, just like, you know, Bryn said. Why do you think we haven't heard it yet?
Because Jon Favreau doesn't know how to write it. If you want the honest answer, I think that's it.
Yeah.
I would not count out that it, like, it's going to be in the show, I think. Especially after Jon Favreau listens to this voicemail, Bryn, that you did. He has to add it now just based on this voicemail alone. But, like, it is such a huge thing in Star Wars, and especially in The Mandalorian, especially in the EU. Like, we have talked about this before. Like, Mandoa is a huge, huge thing.
Right. It's,
I know,
a tenet. Like,
I would love to see it and hear it in the show. I think we will eventually. I just don't think there's been... If there were any point where they could have used it, it would have been this episode, in the sense of Bo-Katan would have said something to Din in Mandoa.
Yeah.
Except you need another character there to kind of ask, what did you just say? Because...
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I mean, they've been subtitling stuff too, though.
That's
so
true.
You could just subtitle it. I think it probably has more to do with the fact that anybody who would be speaking Mandoa is like a main character that we're paying attention to at the moment, you know?
Yeah.
It's like the Armorer, Din, of course, Bo-Katan. Like, you know, these are the people who we would get that from. And I think because it is a live action television show, there are certain more like mainstream audience considerations.
Yeah, I
to
think
have.
That's it.
And so I think it's just like, it's just a production thing, really. It's just like, we can't have our main character speaking a language that, you know, it has to be subtitled.
Except,
like,
I mean, I really wanted to learn Dothraki after watching Game of Thrones, so there's that.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it definitely works. I don't know. I just think it's probably a production consideration thing. And I think, well, I think we'll get it before the show's out.
I do too. Yeah. I just don't think there's been an instance where it's needed to be used. I think now it's on the table because of Chapter 11.
Right.
So.
Yeah.
Great voicemail. Like.
Yeah, absolutely. As far as the spelling of Mandalore, like the position, for anybody who doesn't know, when they're talking about Mandalore, it is all a, it is a planet, it is a people, it is a job title, and like, there have traditionally been different ways, like apostrophes and different spellings and things like that, to like set it apart and determine exactly what you're meaning, you know? I honestly think that could be something just as much as the people that are doing the subtitles are not aware of that. You know, like the actual production team putting subtitles in the show or not.
They just copy the script. And so like that's what I'm saying is in the sense of Jon Favreau didn't write it that way. And that's just the way that it is. But I do think, Bryn, I think your point is super right. I think eventually, before the show's end, Mandoa will be spoken on the show. And I hope they turn to the camera and say, "This is for you, Bryn." And then they say Mandoa, like everything in Mandoa, the rest of the episode.
And this voicemail is playing like on the Razor Crest stereo system.
Very subtly.
Yeah, just in the background, just in there. Cool, cool. Thanks, Bryn.
Hey, Mac and Alex. This is Haley from Kansas. I'm calling in with my one theory about the most recent episode, The Heiress. When Bo-Katan talks about the religious zealots of the Watch, it almost makes me wonder about when we see Din Djarin with his parents during the Clone Wars, and we've all thought about how their robes seem sort of religious or cult-like, and maybe that's Death Watch coming to save Mandalorians that they could during the Clone Wars, and that's why he's a foundling, because even though he was perhaps always a Mandalorian, he was brought into this certain sect of them. So that's my only thought. I thought it was an amazing episode. I about stopped breathing for a minute when I saw the Night Owl's helmet. Keep up the great work. Bye, guys.
Haley, thank you so much for your call. Actually, that's a really good thought in the sense of it's very possible that Din's parents were part of the new Mandalorian sect that believed in pacifism. And
yeah,
that could be them. I mean, it's very possible.
They didn't have like the future funk clothes on that we see the rest of the new Mandalorians wearing.
That's,
you know,
true.
Didn't have like a mullet because all of them... all the new Mandalorians had mullets for whatever reason. No, but yeah, like the interplay between the group that we see Din coming from being raised in, and then Death Watch, and then Mandalore as a whole, like on a broader scale, like there's a lot of room there for nuance and for, you know, there to be kind of these different interactions between sections of the Mandalorian world,
maybe,
you know?
Death Watch. Maybe Death Maybe. Watch. It could be the Children of the Watch had that symbol, and then Death Watch appropriated it and became right. Death Watch.
That's just, what I lean towards. That's I do that's too. What, and we covered all that last episode. So if you want to, you know, hear all those theories and stuff that we give, check that out. But I think like just the important thing that Haley's bringing up is like there's room for like different, you know, kind of interplay between these different groups.
Absolutely. Regardless what the red robed people that Din Djarin is from, if they're Mandalorians or not, I think we will see them again before show ends.
Yeah. I mean, if nothing else, just the full backstory, we'll just get the full, right. That whole scene. We still haven't seen that whole scene. You know what I'm saying? Like,
right.
There's more to that that we're missing.
And if nothing else, it will be in a Pablo Hidalgo visual dictionary, and then we'll get our explanation as to who these people are.
For sure. So look for that at a bookstore near you. All right, you ready for the next one?
Let's do it.
Hi, the Mandalorian Watch. I'm calling from Italy, so this is costing me, I don't know, a fortune. I would like to tell you that I'm listening to your podcast. We are watching The Mandalorian with my family, with my 8-year-old boy who loves Star Wars universe, and I listen to your podcast and then I translate to my husband and my kid every single piece of information that I find out. I would like to thank you for your job, and I just wanted to let you know that you also have listeners from Europe. Keep up the good job, and goodbye.
I am absolutely floored.
Like, I'm not even gonna lie. Like, I might be tearing up a little bit. Thank you so much for your call.
Yes, and just this voicemail encapsulates everything that I wanted out of doing this show.
Yes,
it's a global thing. We are connecting with our human brothers and sisters across the planet. We're all coming together to experience this like celebration of life that is Star Wars together. It's an intergenerational thing. I love that you're sitting down, you know, you've got your 8-year-old, this community is kind of like going above and beyond like language and linguistics, and it's just so cool. I appreciate this call so much. I'm so glad that, you know, you guys are listening in Italy to us. Just everything about this floors me.
Like, I mean, again, like, I echo everything that Max said. I am so honored that you guys listen to the show and that you translate it for your husband and your son. That is such a big deal. And like Max said, this is why we do it. And this is what Star Wars is all about. It's about bringing people together. It's about families. And thank you so much for calling. We know that was probably tough just because it's an international call. So our international listeners, which we actually have quite a bit, if you would like to send in a voicemail, you can send in a voicemail to our email, which is mandalorianwatch@gmail.com.
Yeah, we'll take just a voice recording. You know, yeah. We don't want to you know, cost anybody any, you know, trying to keep this as, you know, cost prohibitive as, or not cost prohibitive. Yeah, not cost prohibitive as possible. But anyway, thank you so much. You who called in, we didn't catch your name. Send us a DM or an email or something. We'd love to connect with you further, because that's absolutely awesome. So hit us up at our email or Twitter or anything like that. So
you are a child of the watch, and you are in charge of the fan club in Italy. Deem it.
For sure. For sure.
Well, I think that will just about do it for this episode. If you want more voicemails, more discussion, more breakthroughs for Mac Lacey, then you need to join the Patreon, and you will get access to so many bonus content and episodes. It's not even funny anymore. It was funny at first. It's not even funny anymore.
It's not even funny anymore. It's serious.
It's serious.
It's serious how many bonus episodes there are. It's
so serious.
It's just, oh man.
We went from like a really touching moment to like, this is what our Patreon is like. gives you a good glimpse of it. If you do want some extra voicemails and discussion, head over to the Patreon. It's just $2.
Yeah. Yep. All right. Well, I think that will do it. So thank you guys again for listening. We will be back this weekend with another chapter analysis and breakdown. What's going to happen this week, Alex? What's going to happen? Who knows? Who's going to show up?
Not chapter Ahsoka, 12. Probably. Chapter 12. I think the Mithral will show up.
You think so? I think that's a safe bet.
I'm hoping the Armorer will show up.
I do too. Because this is chapter 4 and we have seen some parallels between seasons and things like that, do you think there's any chance of Omira?
Oh, I don't know, but if there is, Jonah Marie might as well just replace me and host on Friday.
She can just record the episode. Yeah. We'll just put it out. That'll be fine. Yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So for that sake, I'm hoping that she is.
I hope that happens for her. Yeah. All right. Well, until next time, keep the watch. I forgot.
tenderness, playing me with your